Good morning, and welcome to a healthier you. I'm David Christopher, your host, and I'm here with my co-host, Vaughn. What a confusing morning.
It really is. You just keep swallowing your words, but here we've got all this good stuff we're going to talk about today. Pat Sherinian says.
Since the introduction wasn't perfect, you know we're live,
That's right.
we will be taking calls later.
And the number is 224-1400 for when we do take calls. If you're in Salt Lake, you can hear our program. The number is 570-1400. And we like to hear from Salt Lake people as well, because you know what? It's toll-free for you. It's Bob Morley's dime you're calling on, so make sure you make the most of it.
Right. Okay, well, let's mention the sponsor.
And the sponsors are the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. Now, if you've been out in the Orm construction at all, you know that it can get you down. It's starting to really intensify up there. They've got one side kind of halfway poured, somewhat. See, I don't know much about doing roads, so I can't really give you an update on it, but it looks like they really are going to town up there. But as you drive through it, it's still kind of nerve-wracking with, you know, sitting around waiting. And so if you have stress from sitting in the Orm construction site, stop in at 160 South State in Orm. We've got a special on our four combinations that are going to help you just kind of ease through there nice and easy. The Dr. Christopher Relaxes, Calc T, MEM, and B&B extract, all four of these combinations will just kind of calm you down again. And even though it may take you a little longer to get through Orm, you will feel all right about it. You'll just be back on an even keel. You won't be so stressed out. And you may even have a happier day for the rest of the day after you're done with the Orm construction. Right, David?
Right.
Right. Well, let's get on with our program.
We're going to talk about cholesterol today. The reason we're going to talk about that is because of an article that came out in the Herald.
On Thursday.
FDA says cholesterol drug reduces risk of death.
And this is front page stuff, you guys.
Right. Well, they're going to make a lot of money out of it because a lot of Americans have high cholesterol levels. In order to understand the drug and what's going on here, we probably ought to understand what cholesterol is.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Cholesterol is a fatty substance found in all human tissues.
Okay. So it's naturally occurring.
It's something that animals produce. Plants don't produce it, animals produce it.
So we, as human beings, will produce it.
Sure, we're animals. Some of us act more like animals than others.
I'm not an animal.
I didn't even suggest that. So the human body manufactures its own cholesterol, but some of it enters the body in food. Butter, eggs, fatty meats, meat of such organs as brains and liver contain a lot of cholesterol. I never could understand people eating liver.
Or brain.
Liver, that's where all the toxins in the body go.
I know.
So then basically you're eating all the toxins that haven't been broken down by animals by eating their liver. Liver is just something I never really understood why anybody ate.
Sounds good to me, I tell you. Yum.
One of the things that cholesterol is for, one of the reasons we manufacture it, is in making cells. It's a necessary component of the membrane of each cell. And all of the cells make it. So every cell will make cholesterol. In addition, the liver uses the cholesterol to make bile acid, and which aids in digestion. And the body also uses cholesterol in the production of certain hormones, including sex hormones.
So cholesterol is a needed part of the body.
Oh, yes. Cholesterol is something that we need. That's right. Now, a lot of the cholesterol is manufactured by the liver. The liver manufactures, I guess, what else the body needs besides what the cells need for their own reproduction. Now, we've heard a lot about cholesterol, and we have to also talk about the carrier of cholesterol. Now, there's the way the cholesterol is moved through the body is from carriers called lipoproteins. We have high-density lipoproteins, low-density lipoproteins, and very low-density lipoproteins. And these are what transport cholesterol to where it's needed. Now, they've noticed that there's a real problem when somebody has high levels of low density lipoproteins and very low density lipoproteins. And so that's what they come up with this drug for, is to reduce those lipoproteins. Now, they can't identify different types of cholesterol, but they do that by the lipoproteins that are carrying them. My question is, why are there three types of lipoproteins?
That's true.
Have they answered that before they made this drug that's going to interfere with that process? Why are there three different types of lipoproteins? Would it be because there's maybe three different types of cholesterol? I don't think the body would manufacture three different types of lipoprotein unless it needed a special way to carry something that's different than something else. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
That makes sense to me. And so if we take a drug that reduces the low-level density lipoproteins, low-density lipoproteins and the very low-density lipoproteins, what happens to the cholesterol that needs to be carried by those? Where does it go?
It's got to be stored someplace.
I'd imagine that you're going to compound the problem. You know, they've had a problem with this cholesterol thing for quite a while, you know, saying that, high levels of cholesterol lead to heart disease and heart attack. However, there have been some studies showing just the opposite, that low levels of serum cholesterol put you more at risk than high levels. So, see, the scientific industry, the scientific community, isn't all together here. A lot of times when you read an article in the paper, you think, "Oh, that's the gospel truth." You know, no, that's as far as that study is concerned. And that study was commissioned by the manufacturers of that particular drug that's going to lower your cholesterol. However, what about the other studies that show that low levels of serum cholesterol are as much of a problem as high levels?
That's right.
What's this drug going to do? You know, it's not gospel doctrine. You know, it's not the truth. It's not. It's only that study.
That's true.
And they didn't take into account all the other studies.
And it's interesting because they say in the article that heart patients should immediately get their cholesterol levels rechecked and discuss with their physician whether they could benefit from this medication. And what that particular statement smacks of for me is that, okay, let's widen the parameters here and put more people on the medication.
Right.
The parameters used to be just so wide, and now we've got this medication. Let's expand it a little bigger.
Make more money. Right.
It's scary to me.
It is.
And here FDA has done it again. Thank you.
Right. But we have to realize that the problem is in the collection of fatty acids and the fats and cholesterol and such in the arterial walls that block flow. And so a reduction in serum cholesterol actually might mean an increase in the blockage that's happening. So, you know, they need to be very careful of that. One thing we do know is that when you go on a cleansing program, as we have suggested before on the program, blood cleansing program, your cholesterol level actually will go up. It'll increase. Meaning that you're getting rid of more of what's stuck on the walls.
Meaning that what's stuck in the walls is being released and moving through the system.
Right. So
to be eliminated.
Serum cholesterol basically is just a gauge as to how much you're eliminating, really. And so I don't really see a problem with high serum cholesterol as long as you're doing something
beneficial
to benefit the body. You know, yeah, it could be a problem if you're not doing anything. If you're sitting around eating, you know, bacon grease and sugar on your white bread, that could be a real problem. And that's not far-fetched. We stayed with some people, that's what they had for breakfast.
But that was
in
Belgium.
They dipped white bread in their bacon fat and then sprinkled it with sugar. Unbelievable. But at any rate, if you're doing things like that and you have a high serum cholesterol level, yeah, that's a real problem. But if you're already on a program stopping those things, you stop animal products, and you start doing cleansing, then a high serum cholesterol level is probably is what the body needs to be doing for a while until it can get down into the levels it needs to be. So just going by serum cholesterol levels, I think, is erroneous, and the FDA, I think, is a little short-sighted on the whole situation with cholesterol.
I definitely think so.
I think so, too. I think we need to answer some questions, you know, as to why are their LDLs and VDLs and what their purpose, and before we go blocking them, you know, it might just increase the problem. It might actually put more deposits in the arterial walls.
Interesting, because I don't really think the FDA has the health of the nation at heart here. They're more concerned with them. Well, we knew that for a long time, though. FDA does have a problem with the things that they like to manufacture. Well, they don't manufacture, but the things they like to recommend and approve, that I really don't think FDA needs to come to the School of Natural Healing and get a course here.
That's what they really need. So, yeah, as far as, don't rush out and get a cholesterol drug. One thing that is mentioned
in
the article.
They name the drug as Zocar, so be careful.
Yeah, one of the things they mentioned in the article is that it reduces cholesterol by 35%.
Yeah.
But then again, it says, but diet only does it by 10%. Now, so you get an immediate reduction of 10% with diet, but what about the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day, you know?
Right.
Does this 35% represent 35% on a daily basis, or is it just 35%? It reduces it 35%. And as far as diet is concerned, is it a long-standing process? The longer you're on that type of a diet, the more 10% you get kicked out. You know, I don't know. They need to make that clear. I do know, however, that studies that have been shown of vegetarians show that they do have lower levels of low-density lipoproteins and very low-density lipoproteins. And so maybe the body manufactures LDLs and very low LDLs to make up for what you're eating.
Very possibly, yeah. A good reason.
And so to reduce the body's levels of LDL and VLDL without reducing animal intake, you're on a crash course for disaster. You're going to kill yourself that way. So I predict that this drug they've come out with will actually cause more deaths in the long run. They're going to get a short-term effect, but what's going to happen in the long run are more deaths because it's going to build it up. You cannot fool Mother Nature. You can't keep continuing on the course of eating this way and then artificially reducing what the body makes because you're eating that way. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. You know, we've said before, come on, Utah County, grow up and eat like an adult. And I do know Stacy's out there eating like an adult. She told me that. And so if Stacy can do it, the rest of us can do it too. Come on, Utah County, let's all grow up and start eating like adults, okay?
And how would adults eat?
Well,
fresh fruits and vegetables.
Grains, nuts, and seeds. Limit your meat intake if you're going to eat meat at all. And if you're an adult, you certainly don't need milk. You certainly don't. You're past the milk stage.
Milk is the perfect food for babies.
That's right.
Mother's milk is the perfect food for babies. Cow's milk is the perfect food for calves.
So, we're past that. We're eating right, and we're going to be healthy. Let's prove to the nation Utah County knows how to do it.
Right. Okay. Well, so much for cholesterol. If there's any other questions on that, give us a call, and we will open up the phone lines. So
the phone number is 224-1400. If you're in Salt Lake and you can hear us this morning, the phone number is 570-1400. We'd like to hear from you because then that directs the direction of our program.
Directs the direction.
You bet. And it was a very short night.
It sounds like it needs direction.
It was a short night last night. So we're looking for anybody that wants to comment this morning or have a question. If you do have questions concerning health, make it easy on us and put it in third person. In other words, don't word your question like, my problem is this. Rather say, if somebody had a cholesterol problem, what would you do?
Right.
Okay?
Or, you know, somebody shouldn't call up and say, I have diabetes. They should say, gee, what could be done for diabetes?
Of course,
and then we would be able to answer that question a lot easier.
Right. So.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air. Well,
I wanted to ask a question about if a person has a numb spot, say on their foot or on their leg, and it just has no feeling at all. I just wondered if you had any idea what that could be, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank
okay.
you.
Well, all right. Gee, a numb spot any place.
I wonder how long it's been there and when they first noticed it.
Those things are all kind of important. But generally, what we would do for numb conditions would be, number one, try to get circulation in the area. And so alternating hot and cold packs are one of the best ways of getting circulation into that particular area. Another thing that we'd like to do is maybe something like cayenne, which is a rubefacient, brings blood into the area. And with the blood, we might get that circulation thing going and correct things, because the body has an amazing ability to correct, to heal itself when given the proper environment. So what we're trying to do is just bring circulation in the area to let the body's own healing properties do that. Also, numbness can be caused from damaged nerves. And if that's the case, then we'll want to use herbs that are just superfoods for the nerves, that help the nerves grow.
And that's exactly what we were talking about with the State Street construction.
It is, yeah. Nerves are the slowest growing cells in the body. So a lot of times you think something's ineffective, but you just haven't given enough time. And so we'll use these nervine herbs, that's what they're called, nervine herbs, to feed these cells so that they can repair. And they do repair. They do.
And they're on special right now, 10% off. So if you're if you're looking for something like this, now's the time to go to the herb shop at 160 South State of Norm or 188 South Main in Springville. And look at the Relaxes combination.
Relaxes and that B&B, I'd rub that right into the area.
You bet.
And that product they have there, Sensei.
Good one.
I'd use that too, along with the B&B, to get it in there. And the Calc Tea.
That's so excellent for the nerves, just rebuilding the nerve sheaths and putting everything back together again.
Right. And then, of course,
we have enough
our favorite vital herbs.
Oh, vital herbs.
I would definitely, in any situation, go ahead and take a lot of vital herbs, because basically what you're doing is a shotgun approach of nutrients, so it's got everything that could possibly be needed. If you don't know what it is that's needed, it's got everything, and so you can draw on that. So vital herbs is another thing that we would use.
You can.
Should we go back to the phone lines?
I'd love to.
Good morning. You're on the air.
What if a person had like sore throat and was ill like that, and then they broke out in a rash that turned into psoriasis? Can you talk about what could be done for that?
Okay, we'll do that.
I'm going to hang up because I can't hear you very well.
All right, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
So a sore throat that then turned into psoriasis.
Yeah.
Well, one thing we have to realize is that when the body's dealing with infections, when the body's dealing with any problems with toxicity or anything, and it can't get rid of it, it's going to send it out through the skin. So if the normal channels of elimination can't handle what the body's trying to do, it will find other methods and it will send it out. And that may be part of the problem there, is that it may just send it out through the skin. Some of these toxins have been sent out through the skin.
Well, maybe some of the sore throats, if it's been recurring, has been suppressed for so long that this is the way the body has of handling it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And so I would really consider doing a lot more cleansing, even if the sore throat's gone away, and it looks like we've got that in check. I'd do a lot more cleansing internally to try to get the body in a condition where it can handle things through the normal channels of elimination. You know, lymph to blood to liver to bowels or out through the urinary tract. That's what we want to do.
So on those cleansing that's called an extended cleanse.
Right, and so we would use the LG for the liver, the LB for the bowels, the junipars for the urinary tract, and the red clover combination as a general cleansing for the whole bloodstream. And by cleansing that whole system out, then it's going to get the underlying problem. Also, psoriasis can be a result of lack of oil, essential fatty acids. And so rubbing vitamin E oil into it, or wheat germ oil is our favorite. We'd rather do that than vitamin E oil. Evening primrose oil, flaxseed oil, taking it both internally and rubbing it into the area are things that can help. Also, we find chickweed is a very good soothing agent for the skin. It seems to work very well with psoriasis. So chickweed would be really good. And the chickweed at the herb shop is in a base of olive oil. So the olive oil itself helps.
The chickweed ointment you're talking about.
Yeah, so the chickweed ointment is olive oil and chickweed and beeswax, and that's all it is. And that's very, very good for the skin. Another thing that's good, they have glycerin there. And glycerin, when diluted...
A vegetable glycerin.
Vegetable glycerin, when diluted, becomes an emollient, and very soothing for the skin. And so that's something simple there that could be done. So there's a lot of things that can be done.
But if the sore throat is not gone, then we need to...
Continue with garlic.
Mm-hmm. Cayenne and honey and garlic.
Yeah, it's always better to use something natural and let the body work than to try to kill it with an antibiotic or something. You know, I'm sure antibiotics have their place somewhere, but a lot of times it's like trying to kill a mosquito with a howitzer. You know, it's just not necessary. It really isn't.
You make more damage than you.
You're right. Well, let's go back to phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I was wondering what could possibly be done, say, if a child had pinworms.
Pinworms. That's a very, very common thing. And they can pick it up from other kids. They can pick it up from pets.
Eating dirt out of the garden.
Or eating dirt out of the garden. You know, we can put them in a bubble, or we can help the body to be in a condition where it's not going to be that much of a problem. And pinworms are more susceptible to kids that are constipated. And so if we can relieve the constipation, a lot of times we relieve the problem with pinworms because there's really no place for them to inhabit. And it's kind of a good breeding ground for pinworms. So one of the first things we do is a bowel formula, like the LB, to do gentle cleansing of the bowels. And then also at the herb shops, they have a product called VF that's excellent for parasites.
Great.
It comes in a syrup.
Okay, that's good because we're talking about a little peanut
oil. Yeah, and that LB also comes in a syrup, too. It's called Fennel-B.
Right. It's an extract form. We give it to our kids a lot.
Great.
So you'll be able to work with that easily.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Very common problem, pinworms with children especially.
Mm-hmm.
And even traveling abroad and stuff, it's so easy to pick things up. And if you just come back from your travels and work on an extended cleanse for a while, you'll be back in the pink again.
We have a friend that travels extensively, and his basic medicine for going on trips is a good herbal laxative.
Right.
Because generally what happens is you get constipated, then you drink their water, which has those microbes, and you just can't get away from it. And if you have an impacted bowel, you're going to get diarrhea.
It's
as simple as that. As sure as night follows day, that's what's going to happen.
As sure as night follows day.
Yeah, and if you can keep yourself from being constipated on a trip, then... Things will work a lot better, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, we need to do some advertising for the herb shop.
Okay, the herb shop's at 160 South State of Norm and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. And we are open for your convenience. We're going to close a little bit early on Monday at both retail stores, though, because we're going to have a company party. All you jealous people out there that are not working for us will have to hurry in and get your shopping done before 3 o'clock so that we can close up and go enjoy each other's company at a company party. But we'll be open today and Monday until 3, so come in for your needs at that time. And if you're wanting to call and ask us a question, the number is 224-1400. If you're in Salt Lake and you can hear us, the number is 570-1400. We like to have phone calls come in because that tells us how you want our show to go. You kind of steer us around to what you want us to talk about. So, and if you're in Salt Lake, don't worry about it being a toll-free call. Bob Morey's here. It's going to be on his dime. So let's have you call in and ring up his bill.
Okay. There's another article in the Herald.
This was yesterday.
This was yesterday's Herald. The FDA approved nation's first impotence drug. I find this an amazing statistic, but do you know that 10 to 20 million American men suffer from impotence? Doesn't that seem awfully high?
It does.
I wonder if other nations have that much of a problem.
It's got to be something to do with our water.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with the water. I think it's maybe a lack of drinking water. They're not drinking the water, and that's one of the problems. We really do need to drink more water. But to have that many American men impotent, I think we got some underlying problems. And one of the underlying problems is the last article we read on cholesterol.
On cholesterol.
And they're only going to make it worse by increasing the amount of cholesterol in the system. It's clogging it up. Now, one of the things we talked about was sex hormones, you know, you need cholesterol for that. Isn't it interesting that too much cholesterol, you'd think that all that cholesterol would help. But there's so much of it, it's so clogging up, it's just clogged all those arteries and things that you can't get the blood flow down where you need it for proper sexual function. And so one of the problems is too much cholesterol in the wrong place, and then you can't get usable cholesterol for the hormone activity. So one of the best things we can do for impotence, rather than this drug is unbelievable.
Actually, it's an injection, which is even more unbelievable.
You have to inject it right into the organ, and I wouldn't want to do that. Ouch. But at any rate, I'm amazed at what kind of things they think up, you know, to solve problems, when basically what needs to be done is change your frickin' diet, you know?
You know, it's in your statement, it's amazing what things are thought up. They must really just sit around for hours in this room with this big table and just think up all these strange ideas.
Yeah, and all the ones that are too simple, they throw in the wastebasket, and the ones that are really complicated, they're going to cost people a lot of money, and those are the ones they keep and they develop.
Yeah, they just make it more and more and more expensive to live.
You know, one of the ways of reducing impotence problems is to stop using the drugs that cause impotence. Do you know a lot of drugs have a side effect of impotence?
That's probably
true. I think a lot of these 10 million to 20 million men are just taking drugs that are causing their problem. If they stop taking those drugs, then they may have the problem. Next thing is, of course, eating right. If you can get the blood flow going, get that cholesterol and the fats reduced in your system, then that is going to help this condition. Also, we'll want to take herbs that are going to increase blood flow. So cayenne pepper is one of the best things we could do for this situation. Ginger would be another one. Ginkgo would be another one. So all these are good. Now, this article, it's interesting that in order to introduce their drug that the food FDA is approving, they have to put something down. Put down Yohimbe, which is an herb. Okay, this is another saying, hey, Yohimbe doesn't work, so now we've really got a drug that works. You have to inject it. No one ever had to inject Yohimbe. And in fact, we always thought that Yohimbe was a little bit dangerous because it caused one of the problems that this drug causes. You know, prolonged, painful erection. I hate talking about these things on the radio, but anyway, this drug can cause the same thing. But then you get the pain twice, you know, with the injection and also. Anyway, so much for that one.
Let's continue.
Let's go back to the phone line.
I like that idea.
Probably get a better question there than what I come up with. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. I'd like to ask if it's possible for a person to get off of the prescription drugs for high blood pressure and what maybe they could take. Now I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
So
that's a good question.
It is a really good question, though. The question is can people get off of their prescription medication for high blood pressure and what you would do instead? Well, first of all, we don't ever get off of high blood pressure medication cold turkey.
And then you need to explain why.
Because of the nature of the drug, it's very dangerous to get off of it. Doctors say once you're on high blood pressure medication, you got to stay on for the rest of your life. Well, that's because they know that if you withdraw it, the withdrawal of the drug will cause stroke or heart attack.
Because
of the nature of the drug. Basically, what's happened here is that because of clogged up arteries, the body's own mechanism has raised blood pressure levels, okay, to force more blood to the cells. Because the main purpose of the circulatory system is to feed the cells, to get nutrients out to the cells. And so the body's own mechanism, the brain sends a signal to the central nervous system to increase blood pressure to get nutrients out to the cells. And so what the doctors do? They give you a drug that stops the high blood pressure, which means you're going to starve the cells. Well, the body knows that that's not right, and it will fight back and will give a bigger signal. And then they'll give a bigger block and a bigger signal. So basically, you've created such a large signal that the body was never created on its own, an unnaturally large signal that's being blocked, that when you remove the block...
Which is the drug.
When you remove the block, then this unnatural signal that the body has developed because of the drug.
It's built up.
Okay, will hit and cause a stroke. You know, blow something out. So we don't want to just withdraw from high blood pressure medication. It's going to be very dangerous because of the nature of the drug, not because of the condition, because of the nature of the drug. So what we do with high blood pressure is we put them on the right dietary program to try to start reducing the cholesterol, the fats, and things in the body, which would be no animal products, especially no dairy, no butter, no animal products. Eggs wouldn't be a good idea. We want to stay away from animal products. Fresh roots and vegetables, whole grains, some nuts and seeds. Basically, that's what we do. Then at the same time, we work on the liver because it's going to be the organ mainly involved in emulsifying the fats and getting it out of the bloodstream. And we work on the bowels because it's going to have to carry it off, and the urinary tract because it's going to have to carry it off. And then we'll give herbs to increase circulation, cayenne, ginger, those ones we talked about before. Garlic is another good one. Garlic actually will help block the, it'll help reduce the production of cholesterol.
Garlic is a fantastic
herb
for
good one for this situation.
For blood pressure.
And we'll do these things. We'll take some maybe red clover and chaparral to move the bloodstream, to do some cleansing. And then after doing those things for at least 2-3 weeks, then we start reducing the drug little by little. So if it's in a capsule form, we'd like to take a granule out, then a couple granules the next day, and then a little more, till we're taking a capsule that has nothing in it. That's how we reduce it. That drug's very dangerous, and we'll have to reduce it very slowly like that. Hope that helps. Okay, let's go back to phone lines. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hi, I was just wondering, I was told that a pregnant woman needs like 75 to 100 grams of protein a day, and I was wondering what are good sources of protein, and are there, and I was also wondering, on your 6-week formula, is it better in capsules or a tincture or a tea? I don't know what formulas, how you sell those. And
well, you know, Dr. Christopher likes teas himself, but then a lot of times when you're pregnant, you're sensitive to tastes, and so it's not as practical. Capsules are probably the most efficient way of using that. So
okay.
just capsules of that particular formula. And what was the other question?
Protein.
Oh, protein, yes. Mm-hmm.
What are good sources of protein, and does a pregnant woman need it? 75 to 100 grams of protein a day?
Well, we do need a lot of protein when we're pregnant, a lot more than normally. But you can get it from other sources. Almonds, nuts, a lot of nuts and seeds and legumes are a good place to get them. Alfalfa tends to be a good source of protein. And all of the superfoods they're calling superfoods today, spirulina, chlorella, blue-green algae, they're 70% usable protein. For their weight, whereas a meat is like 17%. So you don't need to eat nearly as much to get the same amount of protein. So those are the things we would go towards. Does that help?
Yes, thanks.
Uh-huh, thanks for your call.
You know, another thing I'd use in there that I found helpful when I was pregnant was Cuckoo Crunch bars. Because when you're pregnant, you tend to need to eat more often. And just having I don't even have to eat a whole Cuckoo Crunch bar, but if I cut it up in little pieces and it's sitting on the counter as I go through the kitchen, just pick up a little piece and chew on it, it just kept my energy up and kept me going, and I didn't have, you know, as many problems because I was eating just a little more often and it was nutritious for me as well.
Yeah, if you've seen Cuckoo Crunch bars anywhere in the nation, they came right from here. They're made right at the herb shop. Cuckoo Crunch, they're nice. And if you don't particularly care for that particular flavor, they've got three other different flavors. So you basically have the same type of bar in three different flavors. You've got...
four different flavors.
Well, three other than the Cuckoo Crunch.
Okay.
So, yeah, four totally. You're right, fine. They've got the Caribbean Crunch.
Tiger Munch.
And
Gorilla Grub.
Gorilla Grub's got the coconut and the carob. And
that's my favorite because it has the carob in it.
And the Caribbean is the one with the fruit flavor. It's kind of a unique one. And then the tiger one has the sesame. The number to call is 224-1400. If you
we don't have anybody on the line. Well, you guys hurry up and wake up and get out here.
Everyone's going to call the last couple of minutes, and we won't be able to take them.
That's right. It's 224-1400 or 570-1400. And we'd like to hear from you because this is what makes the show fun. Otherwise, we sit in this booth staring at each other and wondering what we're going to talk about. So it's up to you to make...
One thing we can always talk about is the herb shop.
We can.
And we can advertise for them.
And so. We were just up there in Orm, 160 South State in Orm the other day, stopped in, picked up a couple of swirls, and boy, that was refreshing. It was a hot day, and we were out running errands, and boy, those swirls are good.
And getting a swirl at the herb shop is something you don't have to feel guilty for at all.
No cholesterol.
Yeah, all they do is they put juice in the machine, and it comes out like ice cream.
That's right.
And you can choose your juice. And I've had some unique ones go through there.
They're good. But the good people up at 160 South State, we've got Carolyn and Esther and Mary and a new one. I think her name is Marcia. They're good people up there, and they like to help you. If you have questions, they'll be happy to answer your questions as you sit and eat your swirl.
I had a carrot juice swirl once.
Was it good?
It's like eating frozen carrots.
Huh, I bet it was.
It was different. It was different. It made a nice swirl. It really did.
Was it smooth?
It was smooth. Another one that I had that was unique there was prune juice. Prune juice swirl.
I bet that was unique.
That was very unique. Yeah, I put a little anise flavoring in it. It was a really unique one.
I make a nice prune pudding. I'd just as soon do that than a prune swirl, I think. I don't know. So that doesn't pique my interest as much as my prune pudding does.
Another nice one is a pina colada type, where you put pineapple and coconut together and maybe some orange juice.
I always like to add a little coconut to my swirls. It just gives it a little more flavor. Yeah.
And then you can do strawberry juice. I mean, it's just really unique. That swirl machine is just fantastic.
And it's the only one in the whole world.
It's the only one in the whole world.
And it's in Orem, Utah.
Orem. It used to be down in Springville, but not enough customers bought any, so we sent it to Orem.
Oh, you lucky people in Orem.
Right. So, let's go back to phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could suggest something that would help someone who has arthritis in the lower spine, and I will hang up.
Okay. Thanks for your call. Arthritis in the lower spine. You know, why do we get arthritis in the lower spine as opposed to arthritis in the knee or arthritis in the ankle or arthritis in the wrist?
You must be sitting at a computer a lot.
That, it becomes a weakened area, maybe inherently weak. You know, maybe our parents had a problem with it or grandparents. You know, it might have just been a weakness passed down. But basically what happens is arthritis tends to hit in the weakest areas of the body. And where you may have had an injury, that's where arthritis might happen. And I think we have to kind of understand, you know, what's happening there. A lot of times with arthritis, it might be an accumulation of minerals that can't be used by the body that will be deposited in the area, and that can cause the arthritic symptoms. If that's the case, then using something like horsetail, ostra, hydrangea, gravel root, those types of things to help dissolve and utilize the calcium and other minerals that have been put in there, combine them with other minerals. It's kind of a chelation thing with herbs. Alfalfa would be a great one. Those types of things, if we're trying to get deposited minerals out of the joint areas. Apple cider vinegar, along with those herbs, would work excellent. We've had very good success with that calc tea formula with apple cider vinegar, if that's the problem. If it's an autoimmune problem, a lot of times arthritis can be autoimmune. If it's an autoimmune problem, then we want to work a different way. Basically, with autoimmune, it's kind of the same thing. You've got a weakened area, and foreign proteins then go into the area and combine with your own body cells and grow, and then your immune system attacks it. And so what we do in a situation like that is we realize that those errant cells do need to be destroyed, but then again, we at the same time don't want to have an ineffective inflammation area going on. So we'll do herbs that are soothing, calming for the immune system, yet will not weaken the immune system. Doesn't that almost sound contradictory that you can actually lessen the effect of the immune system without weakening it? So you can still have a strong immune system that's going to do its job without all the real inflammation. And the herbs that we find very effective there is a combination of astragalus and marshmallow works real excellent. And it's used in large amounts, and it usually takes a long time, but it's very effective. And so we're talking 4 or 5 capsules of the astragalus marshmallow for four or five times a day for 3 weeks. But then the results are long-lasting and permanent.
What about topically?
Topically, a good thing that we could do is the BF&C ointment, along with that Professor Cayenne Deep Heating Balm.
You bet.
It penetrates really well, and so that could give some instant relief right there. Sometimes arthritis is caused from an inability of the body to utilize protein properly, kind of more of a gout situation. If it's that, if you can see that it's related to food, then what we need to do is work on the digestive tract, trying to make the body more efficient in breaking down protein. So taking plant enzymes like papaya, bromelain, pineapple, fresh pineapple or fresh papaya would be an excellent thing to do in a case like that. Also cayenne pepper to stimulate the hydrochloric acid. Also, those little seeds in papaya, little black seeds,
little
they're very peppery.
Yeah.
And they'll also help with digestion. So those things can be done.
Sounds
good. Cover that okay?
I think we did.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning.
Hi. It's not a silly question, but while I was listening to you, I've been listening to you all the time through the months and whatever. I had a stroke. You'll have to be patient with me. But one of the problems I'm having is, besides having some health problems, is cats coming around my neighborhood. A lot of neighborhoods have cats. What do you do with cats?
We've tried a number of different things.
That's a dumb question to ask.
It's not a dumb question because we have the same problem at our house. I've tried putting cayenne pepper out in my flower beds, and the cayenne doesn't bother the cats, but it does bother the dogs.
It keeps dogs away because they're smelling
around.
Yeah,
but I've got a neighborhood now there's cats in my neighborhood, a lot of them. One neighbor has 4 in her house.
Gosh.
They let them running around. Then another neighbor right next door there has 4 upstairs and 2 downstairs in her house, and they let them loose all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What we really need to do here
What's
is
that?
Sneak some catnip seeds over into your neighbor's yard so the cats will all go over there. Once the catnip grows over there, then they'll spend their time over with the catnip.
That would be a good idea.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they love catnip. So
catnip. Now, can you buy catnip? Do you guys have catnip? Or where do I get catnip?
At a nursery.
At a nursery.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you can, and then just have the neighbors plant it in their yard to keep the cats in their own yard.
Oh.
Or plant it a long distance from where you want them, and maybe they'll just all spend their time over there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, so if I have catnip, if I buy some of that catnip, I've had a stroke, so it takes me a while to understand, to get my words out, make sure what I'm understanding, what you're saying. So I should get those plants and set them around in my yard so the cats won't come here?
No, the cats will come to it.
Oh, they'll come to it.
I was being facetious. I was saying, put the catnip in your neighbor's yard and let the cats all go over there.
Oh, I see.
I see, yeah.
Oh.
Other than that, I really don't have any other clue for you.
Oh, but and for somebody, now I have a friend that's got a very hard problem with arthritis. And she's been using all kinds of different things, and she's just got arthritis really bad. And she's taken all different things, and I'm trying to, and I tell her your program to listen to the radio. You're listening to you guys on some Saturday morning, so she can get ideas. You know, because I can't write. I've learned since I've had my stroke, I can't write down things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I want her to come. I want her to listen to the radio stations, and then sometimes I tell her, and then I'm sure she doesn't always listen to every Saturday morning because she forgets about it. But that's another thing that I wanted to tell for my mother. Up there, she lives back in New York. So if I need to ask her again about what she should do for arthritis.
Okay. Well, we kind of covered arthritis, but
the last caller. And you can probably get a copy of this tape from Christopher Publications, and then that you could give the tape to her. That'd be good.
In fact, they might have one on arthritis, and they have some good newsletters on arthritis. Thanks for your call.
That's right. So the information is written down, and you can easily purchase it, and those people that are having arthritis problems can pick it up and work on it. Anyway.
I guess back to the phone lines we go. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Would you talk a little bit about herpes simplex and cold sores?
Sure.
Relationship also to exposure to the sun. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call. You know, the sun's been taking a real beating lately, you know, and you know, the suggestion is if you go out in the sun, you know, you wear a big hat and you put all the sunblock on and you know, just it's all very damaging. Well, you know, if we don't handle the sun correctly, it can be very damaging. And one of the things we do see is, you know, herpes coming out by when exposure to the sun. Why is that? Why do some people have a problem with that and some people don't?
You got me. I don't know.
Well, it must be an internal thing. If the problem came from the sun, then we'd all have the problem.
What?
Every time we got out in the sun, we'd all have the herpes problem.
It's like going back to that sheep herder your dad had as a patient.
Right, where he was out in the sun all the time, but guess where he had skin cancer? Right where you never saw sun, and that was under his belt.
That's right.
And basically we figured that the irritation of the belt, you know, on the skin while he's riding his horse, you know, just irritated that all the time, and that's where the cancer came out. See, so belts don't cause cancer, as sun doesn't cause cancer. It just provided the medium for the body to eliminate out through the skin. And